Now, I'm going to go where you're really interested now, because this is something that I've been looking over in my mind for quite some time, because it has to do with Brother Branham coming back and doing something. Now, there were those who, right after Brother Branham passed away, were referred to as those who believed in return ministry. Now, I was in touch with a very wonderful friend of mine in Alberta. No, pardon me, Saskatchewan. I don't know if I ever acquainted you with this thought or not, but I'd phone him, and he would phone me. His name was Chris Thorson. His wife's name was Audrey. My wife and I often went to visit them when we were in Canada, preaching his church, living their home. Oh, just as precious a people you ever want to meet. Well, when my ministry began tapering off because of the problems with my health, we'd phone each other. And invariably, he would talk about return ministry. And as I stand here, I've got to be as honest as I can be in his memory, because he's gone on. But I argued that Brother Branham could not come back in the return ministry as they believed it, because the Bible said, though one rose from the dead, they will not believe. And he'd hammer his side and say, well, Billy Paul said, Brother Branham said, to make the rapture, you had to believe in Brother Branham's infallibility. You had to believe in the tent. You had to believe in California going under. I said, well, there's no problem with that, but I will not say that I'll go along with you in what you not only indicate, but you are very strong in your affirmation. Brother Branham will be back here in this immense tent and go before the world. Now, you see, I believed that when Brother Branham died. And I believed it very much. One day I was, I think, out in the garden, yeah, walking around. I think I was leaning over. And like a voice said, the one rose from the dead, he will not believe. Closed book. Now, Brother Branham's got to come back. He said, well, Brother, hey, what do you think about it? So I'll tell you this. If he doesn't come back, don't look for me. I just closed the door on that. Now, since talking to Brother Hickerson and Brother Collins, he came to visit me a while back, and fabulous, tremendous, tremendous, fabulous visit. I tell you, I think I could hitch up my little pet dog and on roller skates we'd go out of town a bit if he'd come up and visit me again, or we could meet someplace. It was such a tremendous, tremendous visit. And talking with these men and I realizing that Brother Branham would come back, and that his ministry, in my mind at that time, was an exact parallel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where did it fit in? Because Jesus did not appear to the world, and when he did appear to the apostles, oh man, that was really peculiar, because they didn't even recognize him. Nobody did. Mary did when he said, Mary. Right away, her eyes were open, and she saw him. And he was gone shortly. So it was. And so, now, I don't lay myself open just because I want to know personally. If I know something that I can pass on to you, then, and that's why I'm here tonight, I want to pass it on to you. So, I'm thinking about this. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't preach anything with confidence unless I got a scripture for it. And so I say, where is the scripture? Where is the scripture? What is there in it? And suddenly in my mind, the words form infallible proofs. I said, hold it. That has to do with the resurrection. So I come downstairs and I say, Lois, get the concordance. I figure I knew where it was. And look up infallible proofs. Get the word infallible, because that's going to be a tough one. Maybe once in the Greek, maybe two or three times. Who knows? But my memory's not good. So she gets the concordance. It's in the book of Acts. And it says, with many infallible proofs of the resurrection. You hear what I said? Many infallible proofs of the resurrection. Now, you're going to get a shock and a good surprise. Jesus Christ never proved his resurrection to anybody but the bride. Amen. He only proved that he was Messiah to the whole world. Is that right? Messiah. Every time, search the scripture and look back to Moses, and you'll see Moses spoke of him. Brother Branham, for all the years of his ministry, he always said the sign of the Messiah, and he called it the Messiah sign. I think it's really messianic if you want to get the proper words. I'm not going to argue about it. But the sign of the Messiah, 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 right? You didn't hear him say the sign of the resurrection. Now, listen carefully. Brother Branham said that Jesus appeared at the end of Israel's history. Daniel's 70th week. Daniel, the vision came to Daniel, and God said there's 490 years left to Israel, bang, kaput, gone, finished, no more. Right? Well, if you believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, it's okay by me. Oh, Israel's got a great future. Prove it. Get your Bible proven. Get everything Brother Branham said, prove it. Messiah came at the end. At the first of the 70th week, which was seven remaining years on this earth, Jesus came, and for 3.5 years, he proved he was Messiah. He proved that he was Messiah. You listening? He proved that he was Messiah. And Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's alive, he will give you the sign of the resurrection. Did he say that? No way. He said the sign of the Messiah. The sign of the Messiah. At the end of the age, Jesus appeared in flesh and gave the sign of the Messiah. At the end of the Gentiles, go to your book of Romans. The fullness of the Gentiles. What's the other one? Fullness? Times. The times of the Gentiles. That's all the Gentiles, all the nations. They're fulfilled. No more time left. Sorry. It's over. The fullness of the Gentiles. And Gentiles is really, well, nations. That's what it is. So the fullness is the church being made up and the bride being made up, because Brother Branham says you take a bolt of cloth and you've been to Joanne's and you've been here and you've been there, and they take the cloth, flip, 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 15 yards, and there's a 20 more yard, 30 yards to go. They go snip with the scissors, cut it off, you take it home, you lay it out, and you put your pattern down, snip, snip, snip. The pattern is the dress, the rest is remnant. Five wise, five foolish virgins, they're virgins, no difference, no difference at all, except foreknowledge, predestination, election.
Now, as in Adam all died, Now, look, if I fumble here, don't be alarmed because I can't read my Bible anyway. As in Adam all died, in identical manner, all, the same all, are made alive in Christ Jesus. Now, Brother John has already taught you, because I'm sure he told me he had. When Jesus gave the disciples the parables, he said there was a man, and he's a fine farmer, real good fella, got a nice piece of land, went to the market, and he bought some very good seed, no wheat seeds, no tares in it, and he planted it. Well, within about a week or so, the servants came in and said, "Master, did you not plant good seed?" He said, "Absolutely." "Well, where did these weeds come from?" "Oh," he said, "an enemy did." "Well, we'll just go pull them up." No. "Wait till the time of the harvest." You gather them all in bundles, burn them, you put the wheat in the garner. So they said, "Master, tell us what that parable means." He said, "The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. I did it." What do you think about that? Well, you see, he's a little bit cuckoo. Oh, no, you don't understand. He was there with the Father. Now, let's understand this flat. If we were in God, and Brother Branham said so, and the scripture already said in Ephesians, we were in Christ, and he was the Son of Man standing there, then that Son of Man, which means prophet, or manifest in flesh, he was that Son of God who then transferred all the seed into Adam to bring forth all of God's children. Now what happened? Adam sinned, they all died. And Jesus said, "I got to bring them back. I have to die for them." Adam killed them. Shouldn't have done it. But I'm responsible. I put them there. If you had money, you gave it to a financial advisor, and that financial advisor put it in the wrong place. That financial advisor is responsible. Of course, we know responsibility doesn't go anywhere with the human race. We're talking about God and his Son. And the Son said, "I put him there. I'm going to bring him back." And that's exactly the truth. Now, let's understand this. At the end of the Gentile age, Brother Branham, now remember, the end of the Jews, right? The end of the Jews' Messiah King. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's got to come at the end of the Gentiles. Did he come? Absolutely. Absolutely. Brother Branham said, if he's alive, now, that's what he's saying, he will do the sign of the Messiah as he did to Israel. Why? What do we care two bits about the sign of the Messiah? We're Christians. Hallelujah. Millions now living will never die. We're getting out of here. Oh, the Baptist said, If you think shouting and singing loud is any sign, you come down and visit us. We'll teach you how to shout and sing. The Pentecostal said, well, we talk in tongues and we dance in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Israel said, bless God, we're scribes and Pharisees, and we got the best educated people. We've been in this thing for centuries and centuries. We've got the blue blood. We're the aristocracy. We're it. He said, now, if he's Messiah, he'd come to us. And the one this church said, and I got this from one of this preacher, said, William Branham ain't no prophet. If he'd have been a prophet, he'd have come to us. Now, let me tell you something right here. I met two Mormons. She's called Dr. Mum. I don't know if she's anywhere but on the internet, not sure. She's a real steadfast Mormon, and he was a Mormon. They came to my home. Now, the Mormon Book of Prophecy said that William Branham would be here at the end time. They knew about William Branham. Did they go seek him? You bet your life he didn't seek him. I know they said in their hearts, because they proved it by their lives. Why? If he's the prophet, he'll come to us. That's what the scribes and Pharisees said. And that's what the denomination said. Well, if William Branham was that prophet, he'd come to us. He'd ally himself with somebody because we are it, and he's got to come to it. That was the truth. He came unto his own received him not. So now, at the end time, by thousands and thousands of times of vindication, Brother Branham proved by the sign of the Messiah at the end of the Gentile age, at the end of the Gentile age, you ain't going nowhere. You're finished. Nauvoo, it's all over. Church is purged. Israel purged. Earth is purged. It's all gone. Now you can scream and you can holler. You can repent. You can bite the nail. You're not going to change anything. It's inexorable. It's like the dark holes that they talk about in the universe. It just sucks everything in. So, are you getting it? He appeared at the end of the times of Israel. They got 3.5 years to go. That's all. He appeared at the end of the times of the Gentiles. At the fullness of the Gentiles, the last one in and child train, the bride's gone. Now, let's get to where I'm going. I want a Bible proof from God. By many infallible proofs, he proved that he was alive. Now, the proof of his resurrection was separate from the proof of him being Messiah. Is that right? Well, take it or leave it. I can read my Bible, you can read your Bible. It all says the same thing. Many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Doesn't say Messiah. Now, look, the elect of God, and they weren't just the 12 apostles. Remember Mary and Martha, they believed him. Mary Magdalene sure did believe him. Peter's wife and mother sure believed him. Nicodemus, Jairus, he appeared to 500 that Paul knew about, and all the disciples, and he showed that he was alive. He said, look at my hands. Look at the book of Revelation. He which was dead and is alive. at the end of the Gentile age, he proved himself Messiah. That's correct. At the end of the Jewish age, he proved himself Messiah. Now, when the Jews were finished, he didn't go back and prove himself in the resurrection. Just to the elect, a minimum group. He's already proved himself to the Gentiles that he is Jesus, the Son of God. He is not God the Son. He is the Son of God. He is not God. He is the Son of God. There are two persons. One is God, and one is a man who is the Son of God. And Brother Branham detailed it very, very carefully. You cannot miss it. I spent 19 sermons here in this pulpit because of Jesus Only Man wrote a book. And he took all the quotes of Brother Branham, and I took the same quotes, and I read further and put them in context, and I showed you that Jesus is not God. Brother Branham came at the end of time, and he said, the Elijah of this hour is God. Coming by the Elijah of this hour is God. That quote I can't quite get. The Elijah of this hour is God himself, but it comes by a man. In other words, he said it was the Holy Ghost, and it comes by a man. So therefore we know the Elijah of this hour is the Holy Ghost himself, God himself manifested in human flesh, showing that he is Messiah. It does not say the proof of the resurrection, though Brother Branham has to bring it in, as Paul did, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is alive. But Brother Branham would say, if he's alive, he'll show himself by the same sign that he's Messiah. It doesn't say, as in Romans, according to the resurrection, he is the Son of God. That's the Holy Ghost. So, at the end time, you have the same sign of the Messiah. Was he accepted or rejected? Was he accepted or rejected of the Jews? He was rejected. So now, with the Gentiles, according to Hebrews, they crucified them set to themselves. They can't kill him again. But they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh, and there's nothing now but judgment. So, when Jesus came forth from the dead, there were multiple signs of the resurrection. And in my understanding, because there can be no other standing, because there is no further elucidation or enlightenment by those many infallible proofs, for those 40 days, he showed himself alive. He showed the sign of the resurrection. So when Brother Branham comes forth, the sign of Messiah is all gone. You've had it. You've crucified him. It's finished. There's judgment. Hebrews 6, read it carefully. Get to Brother Branham's sermons when he talks about it. You'll see it right there. The fire comes. The bundles, tares are burned. But now, I'm looking forward to Brother Branham coming forth in the resurrection. How long? Don't ask me. What the signs will be and what it'll do? Don't ask me. I'm just telling you what I believe. I can go no further. But I can tell you this. That Noah wasn't sitting around chewing his fingernails or having barbecues. He was out there preaching for 120 years. Now, what all happened in that time, don't ask me. But today we've got radio, we've got TV, we've got computers. They can bend light. They're doing it. All around the world in a circle. What will Brother Branham do? Will he have that tent? The dispute is it a tent or what? Well, he called it a tent. And I told you, he told me just before he passed away. Now, Meade, you listen to me. I will have that tent if it's only for one meeting. She said, Brother Dale, I don't know if he meant one single meeting or a series. I meant just paraphrasing what she said. And as I recall, now, I hope I'm not getting this mixed up, but I understand Brother Branham told Wilbur Collins, I call him Wilbur because Brother Branham didn't know, and numerically he should never have been called Willard. That is a bad name. He should have listened to Brother Branham. Now, I don't mean to throw off of Brother Collins. He's my beloved friend. I'm just saying, numerically, Brother Collins should have, just like I should have listened, and I didn't do it. Oh, brother. But Wilbur is a far better name. But he said to Wilbur Collins, it's thus saith the Lord. I talked to Alan Mosley, and he's astute, just like his brother Evan. And he went to Brother Branham, pinned him down. He said, that'll be in the resurrection. He said, yeah, it'll be in the resurrection. Many infallible proofs of the resurrection. Brother, sister, that makes my heart rejoice. And if I were an old Pentecost, well, I'm too old now, I'd jump over the rail and I'd go screaming down the aisle. Many infallible proofs of his resurrection. What is it going to do? It is going to give faith to the bride. Oh, man, she's going to take off like a space rocket. Just like Brother Branham saw that dot from eternity. Faster than that. From eternity. Caught it. Faster than that. Oh, if you want a shuttle space experience, you stick around for the resurrection. Now, I'm telling you flat. Listen, I'm not quoting a fable. I'm not talking about Esau or the Grimm brothers. Look at here. Here it is. It's right in Ephesians. All right, I should quit by now because you've already got enough. But that's for the ministry coming up. All right. Now, this will be in conclusion, and then Brother John can read 1 Corinthians and talk about the Lord's Supper. But I just want to talk a little bit about the Word of God. Now, in the book of Genesis, God talked to Abraham a lot. And one time he told Abraham, Abraham, I'm making a covenant with you. For all of my seed, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Everywhere in the world where the seed of Adam is, they're my children. And I'm making a covenant with you that every one of those will be brought in. So, Abraham, I forget what he took. Some Brother John can read it. You read it for yourself in Genesis. I think he took a ram, maybe something else, and some turtle doves, and split them in two. And all day long, he shooed the birds off. That's what a good pastor does. He shoos off the buzzards. And a lot of people, oh, man, he looked down here. I don't like what that pastor said this morning. Oh, no. You can't take a whipping? Well, there's something wrong with you. I've taken a lot of whippings. I don't know how much good it did me. I hope it done me some good. I can tell you a few stories. I'll spare you. I'll spare you. But anyway, he shooed off the buzzards and everything else and the flies and everything. Then the sun went down. And a deep, deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And darkness. Brother Branham said he went to hell. Had to, because that's the covenant. That ball of fire rolling through it. You read it sometime and let your mind go. I can't let mine go at this time because I can't read. But if I get big enough print, I'll be able to absorb it, and I'll have me a good time. You see, that was foretelling Jesus, the Son of God, would go to hell, and he would suffer. Now, the scripture talks of the blood of the everlasting covenant. That covenant was back there in Genesis, and it was sealed by the blood of many different things. I'm sure there was even a dove in here, but the blood was shed, and God accepted that sacrifice, and it was gone up in flames. Now, Paul says, and Brother Branham quotes that many, many, many times, and Paul said, in thy seed, singular, not seeds as of many, singular, all nations shall be blessed. And of course, he was talking about Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who would die for the sins of the whole world. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I want to bring it to your attention, that this is the blood of the covenant. You see the perfection? What was the covenant? Back there, oh, maybe Genesis 18, whatever it was, I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds of years back, God made a covenant, and it was sealed at that time by the blood of bulls and goats, looking forward to when that covenant would become everlasting. The blood of the everlasting covenant. God made a covenant through Jesus Christ for his seed. Not one be lost. Everyone returned to God in a state. Oh, I know we want to use the word glorified. Sometime I'll talk about that. Well, let's face it. Let's go to the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was transfigured before them. He was in shining, shining garments. He was as Moses and Elijah. Oh, so superior to the angels and archangels and cherubims and seraphims and the four living creatures. Way, way beyond that. But when the vision, it was a vision. Remember, it was a vision. That's what it was. When that lifted, he was there as a human being again. Now, when Jesus came forth in the resurrection, he wasn't all white and glorified. No. He was a man. Tell me, when he left that tomb, where did he get his garments? Now, they weren't pure white and glistening. They were human garments. See, now, what I'm trying to say is, don't get your eyes on something super that you have no right to look upon. When will you get this body glistening? I don't know if you ever will. I think we will, but it could be in the eternal city. We'll be immortal, but we mustn't get carried away with thinking something outside of the scripture. So anyway, it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. So when you talk of the blood shed, you have to look in this word to see what that covenant was. What is yours by that blood? An everlasting covenant. No matter what man says, no matter what you say, you go to this word. That's what I love about Brother Branham. He was so meticulous. I wish I were. He said, like to me one day, is it in the Bible? Yeah, that's it. And that's all he says. Is it in the Bible? That's it. Oh, brother. I'm just a bald-headed baby alongside of that. Now, we got to get there. It's in the Bible. Everlasting covenant. Whatever he said is his, you give it him. What he says yours, you take it. And you wait until that portion of the covenant is ratified to you. And there will come a time. I told you many times how I used to get healing. Oh, man. Now I can't read. What a terrible nut. When I got sick, I just pick up Daddy Bosser's book, Christ the Healer, and read and read it. That's it. And I'd walk away. I'm healed. No problem. And Brother Branham told you all about it. He said, well, when it has been revealed unto you that you are healed, you're healed. I remember the first time I was healed. Now, it was either, what's it, this wrist? This wrist, left wrist, I think. I must have broken something in there. Oh, it was like a toothache. Now, at night to get rest, I'd lock it under my body and lie there. I wouldn't move till next morning. I could sleep. Well, my sister got healed. Oh, I was so happy. The Lord was so real. And so what? I said, tomorrow morning, won't be any pain. I lay on my wrist. Next morning, healed. Oh, that's the trick. That's easy. So I used to eat a lot of candy and too many sweet things. Oh, that's terrible. You fill your body up with mucus, your head, your sinuses. So here I am sick. I said, well, this is easy. Just go to bed. Next morning, healed. Roll it in. No more healed than nothing. It wasn't revealed to me. You got to put your place, take your place in the place where the revelation is, and that's in this book. Or you read Daddy Bosworth, Christ the Healer. There's no book like it. I don't care Tommy Lee Osborne, A.B. Simpson. Oh, I don't care who wrote it. I'm just telling you this from my experience. You listen to me and believe me. Don't look for any other book than Brother Bosworth. Now, Brother McCree will get it for you if you haven't got it. Somebody will get it for you. And read it, and read it in faith. And when you get that, not goosebumps. God is not the God of the goosebumps. A woman pulled that on me in Florida. I said, oh, brother, now he's the God of the goosebumps. I don't buy that. He's not the God of the goosebumps. He's not the God of some sensation, although that can happen. Look, I'm not downgrading it. But he is the God who takes your faith. And your faith is not a sensation. It is a knowledge of the work done. It's the everlasting covenant. Now, because this is a night that you take communion and you wash feet, I want to ask you a question. Did any husband and wife that's here tonight, did you come to Christ together so that your sins were forgiven together, even though you could come to the altar at the same time? Did you pray and as one in marriage, because you're one flesh, did you receive your salvation? No, you didn't. No way. You came as an individual. Is that right? And now let's go back to the blood of Jesus Christ. If you came as an individual through that blood, Jesus shed his blood for you as an individual. Now get the awful horror of what I'm telling you. In the final days, of mankind, there could be 50 billion people standing on this earth. And everyone had an opportunity as an individual, 50 billion individuals, to come to Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood for each one individually because you come to him individually. You wonder now why he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, if possible. Did you get your healing the same time your wife was healed? No. You came to him as an individual. That's why he said, all my bones stare at me. They ripped the flesh off of his bones, so his rib cage stood out here. He took stripes individually for 50 billion people. Now you think of that when you take the Lord's Supper. At Pentecost, he had enough of the Holy Spirit because God himself came down. And each individual received the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the rebirth, was sealed into and positioned in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for 50 billion. But 50 billion never came. But it was there. 50 billion never came for healing. 50 billion never came for salvation. The baptism. But it was there. Now, Brother Branham said, as I mentioned the covenant, because I can't read to you, but you can read it. He said he went down into hell. Jesus Christ went down into hell for 50 billion people, and it's proven because he spoke to the spirits in prison, the souls of those people in the days of Noah. In other words, he spotted them because that was the time of the deluge when, according to what I've read, there were 5.5 billion people on earth at that time. Now today we've got 7 billion. 5.5 billion bypassed that ark. 7 billion are bypassing the one who said, I'm Messiah. I'm proving it by manifesting myself in this man's flesh. And it was scientific because science says when it's over and over and over without a mistake, that's science. Science took his picture. It's there. Now, science knows it's on tape. 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 never failed. He is the Son of God. Now, brother, sister, I'm going to close with this, but don't you let it go by you. If it weren't for vindication, I would be so confused by what is going on in the world, in science. I was pleased to receive a transcript from the net by Brother Don Shearer, where astronomers are looking out into space. And they're telling the world, don't you listen to NASA and the government, because they're lulling you into a sleep from which you'll never arise unless you rouse yourself now. But they're just kidding the people. I don't care what science tells you. I don't care what anybody tells you. If you don't understand and stand on vindication tonight and believe that Jesus shed his blood for you as an individual, and I'm an individual, if he did not bear your stripes as an individual, They ripped off his flesh. Brother, sister, I'm just talking to you. I'm not especially anointed. I would to God I were. But I can't put on what I don't have. I cannot give to you in any other way than by speech. Only God can make real to you and me tonight what I'm talking about. But we already believe in vindication. Don't let it go. No matter what anybody throws at you. Oh, we dug up a mastodon. I don't care if you dig up a carload. Where did these dinosaurs come from? Who cares where they came from? Oh, there are cities under the Atlantic and the Pacific. And if we go down deep enough, we got city upon city. And thousands of years ago, and they had a civilization. And over there in South America, there's a tunnel through the Andes. And up there's a big landing strip. I've read it all. I don't care two bits. It's all going to perish. Brother Branham is coming back because of the blood. Because of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because of his position as Elijah of this hour in the flesh, and the Holy Ghost manifesting to him. He will prove it. He's got to do it. Forget about these fellas. It's all right to read. Read for your amusement. Listen for your amusement. And then stand back and say, well, isn't that nice for them? It is, but that ain't for me. I'm sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to about shout and rest about now. And if I tear loose, you just forgive me. Because, brother, sister, there's something beyond here that you and I don't know about. And we can't know about it until we get it. In the meantime, we're like the apostles. When is he coming back? Pray for him to come back. Don't be like the apostles. Say, well, you know, we thought that he was this, and we thought that he was that, and it looks like it is. Brother, it is so. It is so. This may be the last time I talk to you. I hope to God it is, because I'm tired of sticking around here. And I know people pray for me, Lord, keep Brother Bill. Why don't you pray for yourself? I don't need your prayers to say, stick around here. That's what God has in his mind, not in your mind, in my mind. I'm here because I'm here, but I'm learning. And if it takes me this long to learn what I just learned the last little while, you don't need to worry. I'll be here for another 120 years. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm just learning. 95 years old, September 28th. I'm just trying to learn. Trying to keep my tongue between my teeth. Trying to keep my ears in the right channels, like the song, many songs sing about. Trying to keep from jumping at conclusions, trying to get to where we're supposed to get. Quick to hear, slow to speak. As the word says, remember, keep your words few, because you're on earth and God's in heaven. Now, we don't get anything by simply reciting. If that's the case, buy a prayer wheel, flip it in the wind. Now, brother, sister, we're far beyond that. A million miles. But I hope to God we're not just little children playing in the marketplace. We're far beyond that. Don't start singing, there's a land beyond the river. There's got to be a resurrection. My understanding, and this is... Now, I'm telling you this from my heart, because I laid myself open before God. I said, Lord, you know what? I can't preach anything really without the scripture, because I can't help myself. Look, you're not looking at a teacher, this and that. I'm just telling you, I can't help myself. But he gave me the answer, infallible proofs. We have an infallible proof right now that there will be a resurrection. And we will have infallible proofs in there that there is a resurrection. How long will it be? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't say that I don't care, because I do care. Oh, I just love to be so saturated with His presence, with His knowledge, with His love, and His kindness. I know I can't help it, and you can't help it. This is brotherly kindness. As Bankwood said, fish hooks on the elbow. Brother Branham said, brotherly love is brotherly kindness. This last church age before love comes, the transcending love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's right there, waiting for a little maturity. Now, I can't go on forever, but remember this. Brother Branham said, when the squeeze comes down, the bride will come together. Now, look, don't wait for that time. Don't wait for the church in Cincinnati to come up here, or we go down there, or the one on 42, we go down there, they come up here, or we go somewhere else. Look, it's going to be right here. How are you getting along with your brothers and sisters? Now, you better think that over before you take communion. Now, look, you got to take communion. You got to take it. You got to take it. So, open your heart tonight for real forgiveness and love. And no matter what anybody does, just let it go by. I've been learning that the last few years. See, I can't do anything else. I'm stuck. If you came to my house and did me dirt, what am I going to do about it? If you came and took everything I have, what am I going to do about it? If you took my life, what am I going to do about it? Don't wait until you're 90. Don't wait another day. Get your heart open, your mind open. Whatever happens to you, that's okay. Remember one thing. They can't take your redemption. They can't take that. So they can take your life. Fear not him that destroys the body, but fear him who can take and destroy body and soul in hell. I keep Brother Branham in my mind. See, I didn't walk with Jesus on this earth. I walked with his Elijah. And I saw him. And whatever came, that was it. He let it go by him. He didn't bother. He just let it come. And that was it. And he was victorious. So that's the way you and I want to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know we're here tonight and it's deadly serious whether we want to count it that way or not. And it's not just a matter of words, though. Words have been spoken. I have given what was on my heart to give concerning this last day. And you know, Lord, I'm not a hypocrite. And I've not tried to tell the people something I don't know anything about. But we know there is something there. Personally, I listened to what Brother Branham said when he said the bride hasn't had a true revival. So, in my thinking, she's going to have one. And he said that the bride would come together driven together. I know that. I pray that we'll come together in love and understanding and make everything right and don't put it off. And don't hope for something tomorrow that might not be there, but be really honest and just. And know in our hearts that if Jesus had a resurrection ministry, it's there in the Word. As far as I know, that He revealed it to my heart and my mind that Brother Branham will be here in a resurrection ministry. I know people call it return ministry. And I know, Lord, they call it new ministry. But I know in the Bible it's resurrection ministry. And so we look at it and we leave it there for Your honor and glory and pray, Father, if I've said anything in a wrong spirit or said anything wrong in itself, that You'll bring it to my mind or minds of the people, it'll be corrected, because this, as far as I know, could well be and is intended, as far as I know, to be. The last time I come into the pulpit, though, I don't say that, Lord, You've given a revelation, but I believe I've done what You wanted me to do, and I put it all in Your hands and for Your commendation or Your consideration. And if it's right, it'll be sealed. If there's anything wrong, it'll take the downward path and go back to its elements. And so we commend ourselves to You and believe for the other part of this service, where people get their hearts right before You, before they come and take communion and wash feet as an evidence of humility and servility, just love and oneness. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray, amen. Brother McCray, well, I don't know where you're at. You could be behind me, in front of me. I see you're at the back. Well, that's fine.